Brandon Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Psalm number 34. We're going to parade and peruse the latter half of that chapter, that particular psalm. Let's look at, we'll start at verse 15. How about that? Verse 15. And we will see what the Lord has to say unto the church. Amen.
Amen.
When you have verse 15, say, I have the word. And ready to receive the word. Verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust him shall be desolate. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And what falls in my spirit as a title, a thought, a topic is trust in the Lord because he hears you. Tell somebody, trust in the Lord. Now tell him he hears you. Amen. Do you believe that God hears your prayer? Amen. And if he hears you, then you can trust that he'll do whatever needs to be done. I didn't say do what you said needs to be done. I said he'll do whatever needs to be done. Amen. Amen. This particular psalm is a psalm of David. And it is believed that it is when David was before Abimelech. David had fled because he was basically under attack, and he was not under attack or being pursued by a common enemy. He was being pursued by someone or some people from where he was from. Amen. David was being pursued by people who he had once loved, who he had once protected, who he had once cared for, who he thought one time cared for him. Amen. Anybody ever been like that? You ever been pursued or hurt or damaged by somebody that you took care of or that you protected or you fought for at some point, but then you find out that they really side-eyeing you? You find out they really got something in their heart against you, and you don't even know why. David was at that point. He was saying, I don't understand why Saul hates me so, because all I've ever done, I was his armor bearer. I protected him. I could have killed him, but I didn't. I only let him know I was close enough to kill him, and I repented for even doing that. David was on the run. And he ended up running to who was happened to be his common enemy. You know, sometimes we look for people who, and we do that, and people do this all the time, that we look for people who don't like the people that we don't like. Oh, come on and say amen. Well, let me say it like this, and maybe you will. Your enemies sometimes look for people who don't like you so they can grieve about not liking you. I knew I can get better amens then. But we still all do the same thing. We find somebody who's going to side with us. And so David decided that he was going to run and he was going to hang out with the enemy. But when they caught him and brought him to the king, David, the Bible says that he changed his behavior. Amen. And sometimes some of the things that we go through, it causes us, and we get in certain situations, it causes us to change our behavior. Amen. And it's all right to go through some things. It's all right to be pursued sometime by the enemy because you ain't acting right now. And so God wants us to change our behavior. So he drops us off in a place where we're uncomfortable. He puts us in a situation where we just don't know what we're going to do. He puts us in a hard situation where we say, Lord, it ain't no way out of this except you bring me out. And so we have to change our behavior in order to get out of what we've been into. Amen. And so David got before King Abimelech, who happened when they realized they had David. They said, oh, we got the one that troubled you. We got the one that caused you the most problems. We got the one that defeated all your champions. And we got the champion of Israel. And so we want to bring him to you so we can do whatever we want to do with him. But when David got in there, David realized that the only way out of this is to go crazy. I'm going somewhere. The only way out of some things is to go crazy. See, we think too much and we think we know it all. And so sometimes you got to lose your mind and you got to start thinking of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you. And then you just got to go crazy and praise the Lord in order for you to get out. Oh, y'all don't hear me here. Well, let me back up. Maybe sometimes you got to just get out of your mind because sometimes you need God to do something ridiculous. And so it calls for you to act ridiculous. Sometimes it calls for you to act out of your character and say that this ain't me. This is not something that I normally do. It wasn't something that David normally did, but he decided that it was best that he do what he did so that he can get out of what he was in. And sometimes we get in stuff and we need to do stuff and we need to do things in a way that it don't seem like it's right to everybody else. Amen. And sometimes, and see, you got to get to a place where you don't seem like you're so dignified that you can't let go. Sometimes we don't want to let go because we got an image. But David said, yeah, I'm a champion, but I ain't too far too much of a champion that I can't give God what belongs to him. I ain't too much of a champion where I can't do something to get out of this. So David said, let me do something here. David, the Bible said that David began to foam at the mouth. And you know, sometimes, and we don't even think about this, but sometimes when people get in the presence of God and they know they've been having some issues, some every now and then they just get to talking and going on, and next thing you know, they slobbering at the mouth. And you know, you ever been praying and then you just don't want to stop and you just let it flow because ain't nobody here but me and God. David said, look, I'm building a tent around me and I'm going to go before this king and I'm going to do whatever I got to do to get out of this. David began to foam and foam at the mouth. He began to act crazy and wildly, and they said, what in the world is he doing? But David down on the inside was saying, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I wish I had some. Oh, okay, let me, y'all don't believe. It's right there in the text. It's a Psalm of David. It says he changed his behavior when he drove him away. And this caused David's enemy to say, this can't be the one that was the champion. This can't be the one that caused us all the trouble. Get him out of here, you know. And sometimes God won't have to God won't have to deliver you from your enemy. He'll make your enemy push you out of the, I don't want nothing to do. I'm going to leave this joker here alone. Why? Because David said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Then he said, oh, magnify. David began to confess and he began to testify to the men that was with him that, hey, look here, I got something to tell you, that God delivered me from a hard situation. And so I have no reason not to praise him. I have a right to lift him up. I have a responsibility to let you know that God is a good God, and he's not good some of the time, but he's good all of the time. When I end up in a situation that I don't want to be in, God is still able to deliver me. Oh, come on and shout hallelujah in this house. I was just testing to see if y'all wanted it, but y'all don't want it bad enough. David says that taste and see in verse 8, the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. He says, in other words, experience God. Will you try God in your situation? Will you try him and see that he's able? He said, taste and see. He said, in other words, there's a direct understanding here that when you taste something, your eyes open to something. Yeah. The other day, I'm going to just use this for an example. The other day, about a week or so ago, I went up to Big Boy's Barbecue. Amen. Went up there and got some chipped beef. And I got two of them. I said, I'm just buy two. So I went back to work, and I went in there, and I took the complex manager. I said, here, I know your wife don't feed you like this at home. Because she don't, because he said that she tried to make him eat all the health food. I said, so you can cheat at work. So I gave it to him. I said you gonna like this. I said this what I know you used to that West Texas barbecue, but this what Louisiana barbecue is about. And I gave it to him, and I'm telling you, by the time I walked from his office to my office and sat down, the phone rang. He said, man, I bit into that thing, and he said in just a few seconds I inhaled it. He said, that's good. He said, where did you get that from? And I told him where I got it from. But the thing is, he said, now I see. This is what he said. Now I see what y'all talking about. This real barbecue. So when you taste something, you see what it's really about. In other words, have you tried God to see if he really is who we say he is? Is he really as good as, I told him it was good, but is he really as good as I say he is? But you can't just take my word for it. You got to experience this for yourself. Y'all don't hear me in here. And he said that the blessed is the man who trusts in him. The word blessed there in the simplest form, it means happy. Amen. It means joyous. It means happy. It means that even though things may not be going my way, I'm trying God right now. I'm trusting God right now. I'm waiting on God right now. And so I don't have anything to be sad about, because what I know is that God is in control. Preach. I know God is in control. And if God is in control, I don't need to worry about a thing, because I know that everything is going to be all right. Tell somebody, don't worry about it, because God already knows about it, and everything is going to be all right. That was the wrong neighbor. Tell another, say, don't worry about it, because I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. Yes, it's going to be all right. Yes, it is. Amen. And so he said, trust in the Lord. We got to trust him and know that God is on our side. Amen. The Bible said that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And so I was on the plane the other day, and we had some turbulence, and had a lady sitting in front of me, kind of on by the window. I like the aisle. I don't care for the window that much, but I like the aisle. And so she was sitting over by the window because she wanted to see. She said she don't travel much. Heard her telling the guy sitting next to her, so she had the window up, she wanted to see. And then when the turbulence hit, because the wing of the airplane went like this, and we rocked, and you know, ain't nothing you can do. I mean, you can holler, you can yell, what you gonna do? Nothing. I mean, you're up there, what you gonna do? All you can do is trust him. That's it. And I learned that from many times of traveling and having turbulence. All I can do is say, Lord, I trust you. And I ain't got to yell it. I know he hear me. But she was up there, and she was a believer, a Bible believer, because when I got on the plane, she was over there, had her head turned to the window, and she was speaking in tongues, y'all. She was praying hard. She was, okay, Lord, I know you're with me. And so I heard her. I said, all right, I kind of smiled. I said, yeah, I know it must be her first time. She don't get to do this too often. And then I heard her tell the guy that. And so, but when the turbulence hit, she started, oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Keep us, Lord. Please, Jesus, please. And so, and while she was doing that, I'd never had a worry. You know why? I mean, you know, it kind of startles you when you move like that at your 32,000 feet in the air. But it startled me, you know, because you wasn't expecting that. But then when I heard her say Jesus, I just started to smile, because I knew. I said, I ain't got to call him as if he ain't going to do it. Because I trust him when I got on here that he going to, y'all don't hear me, he going to get me to where I got to be. Because I know I got a purpose, and God going to keep me. I wish I had somebody in here. And so what I'm saying is that although she didn't have the experience I had, I already had tasted to see that even though I might have some turbulence, that don't mean that I'm going to stop right here. Doesn't mean that things are going to get the worst right here. All it means is that I just got to get through my rocky point, and so I can get to my destination. And sometimes while you're going to your destination, it gets a little rocky. Sometimes you have a little turbulence. But you got to have some experience to know that God brought me through the last time. I know he'll bring me through it this time. I've been through a storm before. I rode through the clouds before. I rode on an airplane in the middle of a hurricane and had to do an emergency landing. And I know if God can keep me in that, it ain't, oh, Lord, have mercy in here. I got enough experience that I tasted to see that the Lord is good enough that he'll keep me, even if I don't scream and holler, even if I say, Lord, I thank you. I know you got this. But now when I got off the plane, I walked behind her. She cried, y'all. She had tears in her eyes. She was crying. after we landed, she was still crying. She walked off the plane. We was going up the jet bridge, and I walked up behind her. I said, you know he'll never leave you nor forsake you. She had her cane. She stopped. She said, glory to God. Yes, he will. And the thing is, she knew that. But sometimes turbulence will make us doubt. We'll doubt whether God gonna get us through it or not. You gotta be sure that whatever happens is his will. Let me go on a little further. Let me get to 15 because I won't ever get out of here. Look at what it says. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. When you see that, he says the eyes of the Lord. And when we talk about the eyes of God, it doesn't really, because God, he's not human like we are. And we have two eyes. But the two eyes have to have one focus. Even a person who eyes are not straight, they have one focus, even though y'all don't think so. It's one focus. Amen. Jesus even said, let your eye be what? Single. Some of y'all caught that earlier. Let your eye be single. But the Lord, this word eyes here, when you look and check in the text, the word eyes here, it means it is more like a fountain. A pour out. In other words, God pours out upon the righteous. He looks to bless you. He's looking for a reason. He's looking for a person. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the earth looking for one. He can prove himself strong to. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. God is looking for every opportunity to bless you. He's looking for every opportunity to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. He's looking for every day. He's looking for a reason to just bless you. But sometimes we don't have the faith to receive it. Sometimes we don't trust him enough to know that today when I woke up this morning, God intended to bless me with whatever I needed for the day. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread. He intends to give me exactly what I need for the day. Amen. But we don't trust him that he's going to give it. Look at this. He says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. In other words, he's saying that God inclines or he listens to intently. He's looking for you to talk to him. But do we talk to him daily? In time of trouble, in my distress, I called on the Lord. But do we just talk to him just because we want to talk? You know what? When you like somebody, you talk to him just because you just want to talk. You ever had somebody that like you and you ain't like them? Huh? They liked you, you didn't like them. And every time you look up, they call. That's why you remember we first got call ID. Who is that? I ain't asked. You remember that? And because we didn't want to talk. But you, when you like somebody or somebody likes you, they want to talk to you. And God just said, look, I'm just waiting on you to talk. My ear is open to everything you want to talk about. But we find people who gonna agree with us because we know God ain't gonna always agree. We try to find a way to get things to happen in our favor, find people to network with because we think that that's going to work. But the Bible tells us that promotion comes from God. Amen. Oh, y'all don't hear me now. And so he says that he's ready to listen. His ears are open to their cry. Anytime we cry out to the Lord, anytime we say something unto the Lord in distress, God says, I'm ready to answer you. Look, what we got to understand, and now this is the psalm that said his ears are open to us and to our cry, but we got to understand that God knows what we're going to pray for. We even open our mouth to pray it. He knows what we're going to speak, and since God knows what we're going to speak, he's already poured out the blessing that whenever we get ready to speak, when we speak, God already put the blessing there, so when it come to pass, we can say, I pray, so we can get our faith built, but really, we ain't got nothing to do with it. Because God want to bless us anyway. Y'all don't hear me. I know you thought you had such a powerful prayer life that God did it because you asked. But God did it because he's God. Oh, y'all don't. I know that's stretching it a bit because you don't want to believe. You want to believe that you're so powerful. But let me tell you something. God already knows what's needed. And since God already knows what's needed, all he wants us to do is come in agreement and have faith. Even without, look at this. Have you read all the miracles that Jesus did? Many of the people didn't have to even ask anything. They didn't pray. All they did was show it up, and Jesus saw that was a need, and they had faith, and he did whatever was needed based on their faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't even get his attention. I wish I had some. Somebody, unless you got the faith that you're supposed to have. Measure of faith that he gives to us. Amen? Then he says, let's go on a little further. He says, verse 16, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, and to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. And he's saying here that God intends to make sure that the evil person don't prosper in the way. Now, I know you say we look at all these people, unrighteous folks, that's getting all what they're getting. And here it is, the righteous seem like they're struggling and they're suffering. But what God is saying is that they won't prosper very long. Amen. Because there is a point to where they have a stoppage. Amen. They do have a time frame. The Bible said that God give man space and time to repent, and he's letting them go on until they can repent, because guess what? It, contrary to what we believe, the Bible says that it's God's will that none should perish. And so how is it that we want to look at them and judge? Now that goes to show how our heart is. We want God to punish them because they are unrighteous. But guess what? God said already that his word already says that he's going to punish them. But he is giving them a space and time just like he gave us one. Preaching here. Amen. He says, look at this. He says, and the verse 17, he says, the righteous cry and the Lord hear it and delivered them out of all their troubles. Come on and say amen there. He delivered them out of all their troubles. And when he said, when the righteous cry, when we call out on God, God is ready to deliver us. Come on and say amen. And what that actually means is that God will snatch us out by his reflex. In other words, God see you in something, it's his reflex to snatch you out. God sees you in something, it is his plan to get you out before you even get into it. Preach. It is his plan already to have you to have some kind of way of escape before you go through it. But why he takes you through it is so that you can trust him even more. Because we don't trust him like we say we do. You know, we trust him because it's all good. We trust him because I got a few hundred in the bank, so I trust him. I'm good now. But what about when you ain't got a few hundred? What about when you say, Lord, I'm trusting that you're going to leave the lights on, and then the notice comes, and then all of a sudden you ain't got no money. You got 2 days, and you still ain't got no money. And the day come, you still ain't got no money, but you still got lights. That's God. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah. And he let it stay on, and you saying, Lord, I trust you. And he let it stay on a little bit longer so that he can just bless you and show you that if you just trust in me, everything will be all right. Come on and say amen. He's saying here that we have to learn that God will make a way of escape, but not only does that word mean to be delivered or to be snatched away, but it means to defend. God will defend you. Do you know that you don't have to defend yourself? Do you know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible said that the Spirit of God would lift up a standard, and you've been trying to explain yourself to everybody, and God said, that ain't even what I want you to do. I don't need you trying to explain to people why and who and what. All I need you to do is just cry. All I need you to do is talk to me. I don't need you to talk to everybody. You've been talking to too many people. You've been trying to tell them your side of the story. I don't need to hear your side of the story. All I need to know is, do you trust him? All I need to know is, do you believe that God will and that God can? I know somebody did you wrong, and you want to tell them how mad you was and what they did you, but no, I don't have to defend myself today because he is my defender. In other words, Lord have mercy in here. This battle is not yours. It belongs to God. And if you belong to God, everything you get in belongs to God. And so that's why David could say in another psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear evil because thou art with me. Do I have anybody in the house? Notice what he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. How do I get comfort from a rod? How do I get comfort from a staff? Well, the rod is there for the wolf, in case the wolf tries to come and steal me away. He'll God got a rod for the wolf. That's why when Jesus faced the devil, he said, it is written. Come on and say amen. That's the rod of God. And the Bible says his staff, in case I decide I want to go astray, his staff will find me and lift me up out of the cracks I fell in. His staff will pull me back in line when I get out. I wish I had somebody in the house. Oh, yeah. Not only does that word, it's the word in Hebrew, it's natsah. And what that word also means, to rescue. It means to recover. It means to strip. I wish I had somebody. What he's saying is that God will strip off of you what people have put on you. The burden that you have, the what weighing you down, God said, no, that ain't going to stay on you. I got to take that. I got to remove that. God began to strip some things off of you because you got too much on you right now. Anybody ever felt like I just got too much on me? Well, that's okay because God sees it. That's what he said. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. God sees that you got too much. And so God will strip some things off of you. I wish I had somebody in the house. When God began to move that stuff off of you, you start to feel lighter. You start to feel better. You know, anybody ever felt better all after you came out of church, after you came out of prayer, after I wish I had some. You know why? Because that is when your faith is at its highest, and you can't afford to get around pessimistic people, people who are downers. They just like some drugs. They just take you down. And when you get around them, you start to feel down. You got to stop that. You got to identify what it is, who it is, and say, you know what? I can't be around them right now because it's not healthy for my soul. I love them to death, but it's not healthy for my soul. I need to be upon some praises. I need to be with some righteous folk. I need to be with somebody with faith, because when I'm with the people with faith, I'm increased and I feel free. I don't feel as burdened as I do when I'm with you. So I gotta, even if it's your friend, your best friend, you gotta say, girl, you quit being a pessimist. I see myself coming out of this. I see you coming out, but you don't even know it. You too dumb to know that God is with you. I wish I had somebody. He said, well, two or three are gathered in my name. I'm in the midst, and God is with us now. You need to stop them in their tracks. Quit letting people put all that mess on you, and when you leave them, you feel like you're walking like this, like you can't hardly make it. Your body start to hurt. You aching in your bones because you've been with them. Your joints start to hurt. You can't sleep at night because you've been with them. You need to say, you know what? I'm going to sleep tonight because I'm giving it all over to him. I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart and not leaning to my own understanding. I wish I had somebody in the house that said, I'm putting that on my shoes. I'm putting that on a shirt. That I got to be an optimistic person. I got to have faith in God. I can't hang around with the chickens because God said I'm an eagle. I'm going to fly high. I wish I had somebody. You got some snakes in your life? But let me tell you what to do with the snakes. There was a story of some snakes that was on a plane, and all of a sudden the captain looked. They said, Captain, you got snakes on the plane. And the captain said, okay, I know what to do. He went to his manual and he started to read. He said, and it said, if there are snakes on a plane, whatever altitude you're in, just go a little higher because they can't live in high altitude. So the captain turned the nose of the plane and he went up to a higher level. And when he got up there, the snakes stopped moving and they stopped hissing. And before you know it, they all begin to die. I wish I had somebody. What I'm trying to tell you is that when you're facing your snakes and people come to hiss at you, attempting to strike your life, just go a little higher. And when you get higher, they stop moving. When you get higher, their venom is not effective. When you get higher, the strike they wanted to make, they just missed their chance. So the higher you go in God, the more chance you'll make it. The higher you go in God, the less chance they'll strike. Somebody say yes. Say yes. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Glory to God. I'm going to try to get out of here. But he said he delivered them out of all his troubles. When you're in dire straits, that's what the word trouble means. He'll deliver you from it. When you're in distress, he'll deliver you from it. When you're between a rock and a hard place, can't see your way out, The Lord will deliver you. I wish I had somebody. Anybody ever been between a rock and a hard place? Let me tell you what grandma say. He's my honey in the rock. If I'm in between a rock and a hard place, I got a rock that's higher than I.